Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer. It includes a four-week trial, plus postage, and digital scale without long-term commitments. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Ghost. That's Stamps.com, and enter promo code Ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an urban legend mirror game backfires on a babysitter when something possesses one of the children. It always sucks when that happens. The ghost of a small child returns to look after younger siblings. Time appears to stand still for a couple on a deserted road. Also, a listener believes an intruder is in her home while she is showering, but it may actually be something worse. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good, and I just wanted to give you a heads up that our first author was emphatic that you don't say the name of this game. It's Something Mary.
Oh, okay.
Because
I wonder what that is.
Kind of scarred by it, so
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I think most of our listeners are going to know what it is.
Should we play a game and see if we can guess what it is?
No, I think we should just leave it alone, but she even put in bold in the middle of the story, do not say the name, Tony. That means you.
Like three times in a row?
Don't say it
in front of a mirror in the dark?
She doesn't want you to say it at
all. Candles lit?
Just let it go. Just let it go.
I'm just putting situations out there where it may be acceptable to say it.
I don't think there's any situation where it's acceptable to say that. Okay. Unless you are ordering at a bar.
A spicy one the other day that was good.
Come back and haunt you.
It did come back and haunt me, as all spicy food does. So, okay, we won't say the name, but all right. It's looks interesting. Mm-hmm. It always sucks when you're babysitting and the children become possessed by demons. That's never anything. That's why I think I quit babysitting was I tried it a couple times, like, yeah, no, there's too many demonic possessions going on here.
I don't think I ever babysat anybody but my little brother.
Really?
Yeah,
well, ever. You missed out on that joy of teenage years.
I animal sat, and that did not work out well most time.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times, and it was not my fault, but there were animals deceased when they got back. I'm serious. It was not...
Like all of them?
No.
Or just every incident?
Well, the very first time I animal sat for the farm next door,
mm-hmm.
their bird dog somehow got into the chicken coop, and I hadn't even been over there to feed. The owners had left that day,
mm-hmm.
and so I was supposed to go over in the evening and feed the animals, and the bird dog got into the chicken coop, and that was the end of that.
Fried chicken.
And then one of the other times, their dog they had was really old, and he kind of wandered off for a day or so, and I told them I hadn't seen him, and he came back, and he died in their yard.
He came back, but he was already dead. It's like a zombie dog.
I felt terrible both times.
Yeah, like at a trend. Did they continue to let you watch the animals? Or?
Even after the dog died, yes.
They're but still I mean, like, they, yeah,
this
nice
dog
girl.
Was 16 or 17 years old. And yeah. Honestly, on the farm, they were let to wander.
Sure.
But yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, and then the next time the chickens took revenge on the dog and like pecked it to death or something.
So
horrible.
Maybe that's why I was never allowed to watch children.
That could have been. It's like, well, she's had such a great track record with farm animals.
Yeah.
So let's not. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And I should make note now, when you sign up to be an EPP, an extra podcast person, there's more options for your bonuses.
Oh.
You can choose. You can choose. Bunk bed bell is still an option. So if you want that bunk bed bell, get yourself that bunk bed bell when you sign up for the yearly membership. This is for yearly signups only is where you get the bonus, okay?
It's choose your own adventure.
It is choose your own adventure. Month to month, you get access to all the content. But if you sign up for the full year, you can get the bunk bed bell or, and here's the new options, or a phone session with us where we actually, you know, we chat about your ghost story. And we'll set up the time and all that.
That'd be fun.
And we'll actually, you know, talk about it. It's not not just here's a letter or something, or you recording it. We'll do that, and we may even use it on a future episode of the program. So that's one of the options as well. The other options are very similar to that, but they are reflective of the other two shows, Dream Meetings. There's one where one-on-one session chatting about the dreams. Mm-hmm. And the other one, one-on-one session chatting about your item or space that you're wanting to get some advice or ideas on for Junkin' with Jenny.
Awesome.
So it's a way for those other programs, for folks who found us there, doesn't even know we do ghost stories, mm-hmm. to sign up and get something extra. And a way for you guys who listen to this show all the time, if you're doing your EPP membership renewal or just signing up for a yearly EPP membership, that's where you can sign up and maybe you already have a bunk bed bell. You can sign up for that. Or maybe you don't want a bunk bed bell. You want to do the one-on-one chat about the ghost stuff.
I think it'd be so fun to talk to everybody because, yeah. I mean, it kind of feels like we're talking to them when we do the show, but sure. We're just listening to a voicemail.
A lot of times and then we get like the voicemail back or the message back and mm-hmm. the communication kind of goes that way. But this is, we can get it all. In one sitting. So exciting stuff. And I think she make for some interesting stuff on our show, too, just being able to do that. So new extras for our yearly EPP members. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. When you go through that process, you'll get the page that says choose your own adventure, essentially, which one you'd like. And if you're doing a renewal or something like that and it's rolled over, just email me directly and we can get you set up with whatever you're looking for. My email is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Melanie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I wrote in a couple weeks ago with a story where a spirit physically beat me. It was on EPP episode 118. You guys had some questions for me, so I thought I'd address those. And then I have a new story for you. You guys had inquired about what my parents said about the marks left behind from the beating I received. I was working a full-time babysitting job that summer, and when I wasn't working, I was frequently at Julie's, since she lived two doors down from the house where I was babysitting. All my scratches, scrapes, and bruises were gone within a couple of days, so I do believe that I was able to avoid that confrontation. I do not specifically remember them asking about the situation. My parents have always been open to the paranormal, spirits, and the like, so I imagine they would have been hesitant to believe that I was physically beaten. They were told the story much later in life and were both shocked, but weren't surprised to hear of an entity in that house. Now on to my new story, and this one revolves around a very famous urban legend that involves a girl by the name of Mary and a mirror. Please do not say the full name, Tony. This means you. Okay.
Just don't.
When I was 14, I was babysitting five children, aged 6 months to 8 years. While their mothers went out for the night, all children were sound asleep, as it was at least 10 p.m. at this point. My friends Julie and Rachel showed up partway through the night. We were all just hanging out when Rachel got the bright idea to go into the bathroom, look into the mirror, and say the girl's name three times. I urged her not to do this, as I've always believed in the paranormal supernatural, and it made me uneasy. She did not heed my warning and did it anyway, all the while laughing and mocking my fear. Nothing happened initially, and we were just hanging out in the living room talking. But 30 to 60 minutes passed when the bedroom door opened, and out stepped Destiny, Julie's 4-year-old niece. I looked down the hall and said, Destiny, what's wrong? She did not reply, just looked at me with a blank stare and stood in the hallway with her hand resting on the wall. I figured she was still asleep and disoriented, so I got up and walked towards her, and again, I asked. She looked up at me with hate-filled eyes and said very sternly, don't look at me. I was taken aback by this, and you don't expect a 4-year-old to say that. I kind of laughed it off again, thinking she was sleepy. I started to walk closer to her, and she jerked back and yelled again, don't look at me, all while never taking her hand off the wall. At this point, I was beyond confused. I figured I'd give her a moment to wake up and compose herself, and I talked to her again. She started to move down the hallway towards the dining room and the kitchen area, never removing her hand from the wall. Got up and walked to her, asking again what was wrong. Her reply remained the same, but sounded angrier. Don't look at me. She kept walking through the kitchen, always touching either the wall or the cabinet. Eventually, she found her way to the dining room and stayed in the far corner of the room. I walked to the edge of the table, and she looked up with hatred and screamed, don't effing look at me. And I was terrified, I was dumbfounded as to how to deal with her. Julie has always been braver than I, so she approached Destiny and picked her up. She kicked and screamed and flailed about like she was possessed. After a moment, she broke free and immediately returned to the corner in the dining room. We were all at a loss as to what the hell was going on. I personally was absolutely terrified. After a little while, Julie decided to try again. She grabbed Destiny and carried her to the living room. She sat on the floor and held her tightly, completely restrained. She was kicking, screaming, flailing, and flopping around for several minutes. Then, without warning, she wet herself and went completely limp. Once we were sure she was asleep again, we returned to her bedroom, where her mom returned from her night out. We told her what happened. Destiny woke up in the car when we were leaving and was questioned about the evening's incident. She was completely oblivious to what happened, and she said she had absolutely no recollection of this happening. I did not then, nor do I now, disbelieve her. More recently, I have thought about this and wondered if that little girl recently possessed, or really possessed, Destiny, or perhaps there was another spirit or demon who took advantage of some dumb teenage girls and possessed her. Regardless of the explanation, I'll not say that little girl's name, whether I'm in front of a mirror or not. I'll not tolerate someone else saying it either. As always, thank you for everything that you do and for the opportunity to share my story. I look forward to hearing your feedback. Keep doing what you guys are doing and take care.
I honestly think in most cases it is not the name. It's not the thing that they're saying the name of.
Yeah.
It's something else that's already there that mm-hmm. realizes, oh.
They're calling on the undead.
You want to see some paranormal? Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. I think that's what it is, more cases than not.
Yeah, I mean, if you use a Ouija board, if you did whatever, insert ritualistic content here, you'd probably get something.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It's just using the act of being called upon to do something mm-hmm. fun and exciting, like possessing the four-year-old.
I don't think they asked for it to possess the four-year-old.
No, that's just like the choose your own. not choose your own adventure. That's the part. Like, I didn't choose that part of the adventure.
I think it is as much of a crapshoot as when you're using a Ouija board, because you think you're contacting somebody specifically and you get whatever comes through.
Mm-hmm. Much like visits to the post office. Go to the post office, you're like, I don't know if it's going to be a quick trip or a long trip, or it's going to take several visits. You don't have to do that anymore because there's stamps.com. Saves you time, saves you money. You can grow your business. I love it. We can mail any letter. We can mail out the packages, the bunk bed bells, all from the convenience of the computer and the printer. Mailman picks it right up and it's out the door. You avoid the hassle of the post office and everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. It can handle it. Okay. Convenient, easy, reliable, flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the post office right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage of any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com, they make it super easy for that. They even send you a digital scale. It automatically calculates exact postage. And that's good because I tried to use a bathroom scale for that once, and it doesn't work well.
No.
It's very inaccurate.
Kitchen scale's not a good choice either.
And I also said, oh, it's so inaccurate. I bet I'm not what it says I am. I've just never gone back on it again. I just knew it was inaccurate. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class mail for your needs. So you save money that way, too. No need to lease an expensive postage meter or guess at the weight of your stuff. We use Stamps.com because it is easy to use. Right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. It includes 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Ghost, Stamps.com, enter Ghost. Ghost, by the way, spelled G-H-O-S-T. It's one of those words I had a hard time spelling when I was a kid. I don't know why.
It's the H.
I would like put it in the wrong place. It'd be like G-O-H, but G-H-O-S-T. That's how you spell Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now aware of it as well. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. 855-853-4802. The phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says Amanda, and she writes in, hey guys, just started listening to your podcast. Can't get enough. I've always been told that I have a gift, if you will, but I really don't like to use it very often. Both my dad and my great-grandmother have had their own experiences with the paranormal, so mine stems from that. Although I've been visited by happy spirits, I've also had very dark encounters, and I hate the feeling. I'll stick with a happy story for now. For me, I've always been able to tell when there are spirits around, both positive and negative energy. I tend to gravitate more towards positive energy and welcome it with open arms. I don't really see things, but feel them and dream about them very vividly. My ex-boyfriend's mother runs a daycare for a living, and she used to have this young boy named Luke. I did not have the pleasure of meeting Luke since he passed away from cancer at the age of 3. My ex's mom had told me about him, and I had seen his picture, adorable little boy. His mother would still stop in to say hello from time to time. I got to meet her once on a few occasions. One night I was having a dream, and I was in my Nana and Grandpa's house, which was also haunted, but that's another story for another time. I was looking in the mirror, and suddenly I saw a little boy sitting on the counter swinging his legs. I turned around and said, or he turned around and said, "Hi, my name's Luke. It's so nice to meet you." He had a black lab stuffed animal in his hand and quickly turned back around to look in the mirror. When I did this, he was right behind me with a chair pulled up and started to play with my hair. I was relaxed and calm, let him play with my hair until he said it was time for him to leave. I woke up confused and told my boyfriend of the dream. He thought it was strange, but we kept moving on with our lives. A year or so had passed, and Luke's mother got to know me a little better. She adopted a girl and was coming to my ex's mother's place more to drop her daughter off at daycare. One day, I was helping at the daycare and decided to tell Luke's mother about my dream. As I started explaining what had happened, she started to cry and laugh. As I was explaining this dream to her, I had a vision in my head of him standing next to her, a little bit older since he had been 3 years. It's been 3 years since he'd passed. He was hugging around her stomach and smiling at me. When I was done with my story, I told her I needed to sit down and that he had been there in the room. She said to me, "Amanda, his favorite stuffed animal was his black lab dog, and he would always play or brush my hair while I looked in the mirror." I, of course, was stunned that I had dreamt of something. I had no idea it actually had happened. When Luke's mother left, I turned to my ex-boyfriend's mother and said, "Oh my God, Luke was here. He was holding her stomach. She's pregnant, isn't she? He's with the baby, looking over it." To my ex's mother's shock, she said, "Yes, she is pregnant. How in the world did you know?" I did not know, but it was Luke who had told me in his own way. I found out 2 weeks later that his mother had a miscarriage. I still to this day think that I saw him holding her stomach to symbolize that he would take care of the baby when the mother miscarried. This is information I could never make up and something that still impacts me today. I've had numerous dreams of people's loved ones. I do not channel it as much as I'm afraid of letting the negative energy in, but I do plan to practice it much more. I look forward to the time where I can meet Luke again and share positive stories with his mother. Thank you for listening, and I hope to hear this one day on your show. Keep up the entertainment. All the best, Amanda.
I think the greatest challenge with being sensitive to the point where you're receiving messages like that is knowing when and when not to share them.
Yeah.
And like, I think it probably brought the mom some comfort to know that, you know, the little boy's still around, but I don't know that you could go back to the mom and say, "By the way, he's taking care of the other baby."
Yeah.
I think there's a fine line between okay and not okay.
Of just sharing everything and anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be difficult because especially if your compass on what you feel is appropriate or you could handle yourself, it doesn't necessarily line up with the majority of other people.
Could be, yeah.
And you may go, "I could handle that," but not everyone else can. It'd be difficult, mm-hmm. especially when it's other people's stuff.
Yeah.
And life and stories and connections and things of that nature that you're picking up on. Thanks for sharing the experience with us. We greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Book is out, by the way. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. It's Real Ghost Stories. If you've seen our logo, you know our logo from the podcast. It's the moon and the Real Ghost Stories. And the full title is Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's out there. Find your copy today. Lock yourself in a room and read it and avoid your family. That's our suggestions. Jennifer writes in, "Good day, Tony and Jenny. I was super excited that my brother's story made it on an EPP episode, Friends on the Other Side. Here's a story my grandmother told me about my great-grandmother. She explained to me that my great-grandmother only told her the story once and never spoke of it again. The story, my great-grandmother was a defiant young woman. And when she was a teenager, she decided one night after her parents told her she couldn't go out, she'd sneak out and go to a dance. At the time, the side of town my great-grandmother was on was not well lit, and there were few houses in the area. In fact, even though she lived in a highly populated area, her neighborhood doesn't have many lights on the streets or houses near each other, so the atmosphere on a foggy night or morning is reminiscent of the Exorcist or Possessions horror film. So creepy is an understatement when it comes to the feeling you get in this area. My great-grandmother and her sister successfully snuck away to meet up with her ride. The dance was at the ice house, quite far from their home, so driving was the only option. A car full of teenagers means they aren't focused on anything around them, but there was a sudden silence when they noticed an old man hobbling along the dark road. All of them felt a heavy atmosphere, and my great-grandmother said there was something dangerous about the man. So speed up and get past him. The driver, in agreement, did so, and everyone was relieved because the heavy atmosphere disappeared. And so they continued all their conversations. They're now at a point in their trip that the road becomes hilly, so you must be careful. Watch for other drivers, deer that might come out of nowhere. Suddenly, a few feet in front of them, there's the man walking towards them. Again, the atmosphere is heavy, but at the same time, her sister screams and scares everyone. The driver stops and stares. No way this can be the same man, no way. My great-grandmother stares at him and tells him to floor it ahead, so they speed past him. This happens twice more, but this time my great-grandmother watches out the window as the man disappears in the distance. But as the lights slowly move far enough that the man is almost out of view, this is when, she explains, the man kneels down and jumps. She describes the man jumping past the car further ahead and seems to wait for them to pass again. Taking this as a terrible omen, she screams for the driver to take her sister and her home now. They get home and get caught sneaking back into the house, but my great-grandmother explains she would rather have that happen than know what that devil had in store for them. My grandmother explained that she believes this was the devil hoping for my great-grandmother to do something wrong so he could claim his prize. I don't know if it's true, but till her dying day, she was a church-going, God-fearing woman who never mocked anything supernatural as she believed it was all part of God's plan. I don't know if this was a ghost or a devil, but I know this story definitely scared some sense into me. Thank you so much for bringing the paranormal family together.
I don't know that it was there to purposely scare her into going home, mm-hmm. because we have listeners all the time writing in about things showing up on the side of the road, and then several miles down the road, they're passing it again mm-hmm. when it's impossible. I think, you know, not showing up just because they were quote-unquote doing something wrong. It just showed up because it just showed up.
It was just there. Mm-hmm. They just happened to be in its path. Mm-hmm. Anyone who would have been going down that road, whether it be a trucker or just average Joe coming home from work or whatever.
Right.
It would have been, and they happened to be the ones that hit the jackpot on that. Good story. Mm-hmm. That would be one that would make you think twice about going out at night. Thanks for writing in. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Bianca writes into us, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. Love your podcast. I'm listening from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is my story about the time I think we drove through a time slip. My story happened in December of 2008. We were traveling from Texas to Missouri and back. It was an all-day round trip, so we brought our dogs with us. Well, our GPS went wonky, and we got lost somewhere in Oklahoma. We turned off the road to find a gas station and asked directions. And the attendant instructed us to continue the way we were going. And it will hook around and take us right back to the freeway. Cool. We get on our way. After around 20 minutes on a dark road and no sight of the freeway, we started getting nervous. I was rummaging in my purse for something when suddenly every hair on my body pricked up and my senses went on red alert. I whipped my head up, looked around, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. A dead, empty town on a dead, empty street, fog, ruined buildings, swinging lights, and not a hint of a person. We said nervously, "You felt that too?" And I said, "Get us the F out of here." We floored it. The town, and I use that term lightly, was only maybe a mile long and we were past it. But that didn't improve our situation, because as soon as we passed the town, we were in the middle of cornfields, taller than the car. I said, "I've seen this movie. The creepy murderer family gets the lost tourists and makes them watch while they murder the dogs first." We tried to stay calm for each other, but we were terrified. Eventually, we finally found the freeway. Our GPS recalibrated. We got unlost and beelined at home. Made it about 5 hours later. I've tried to find this town on Google Maps since then, and I haven't been able to find it again. The only thing I could find was that the road the gas station attendant pointed us to use used to be part of the old Route 66. Creepy enough, I know, but I realized something just recently while thinking about this story. It was the middle of December. Why was there tall green corn in the fields at all? That's why I believe we drove through a time slip. Thank you for your wonderful show and for listening to my story.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, the corn is...
You killed your mic.
My microphone. There we go. Be a little more careful with that there.
I'm trying to simulate hurricane sounds.
Just pretending I would do it, but it would eventually just destroy the wire. I don't know what, there's something loose in there. I just gotta be more careful with it. Yeah, it just kind of sound like a reporter in a hurricane. The corn kind of gave it away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, without that, I would just say, yeah, there's a lot of towns that resemble that in that neck of the woods when you're driving. And unfortunately, there's a lot of very depressed looking towns or ghost towns, mm-hmm. literally, in that area.
Especially along Route 66.
Yeah, so if it's foggy and creepy, yeah, you got a great setting for a horror movie in some of them. So if the corn wasn't part of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, you just were in a creepy town. But the corn, yeah, that is weird.
That is very weird.
I wonder if they had the windows down, if it would have been also like warm,
I don't know.
You know, like just everything changed. Like, why is it suddenly 80 degrees here? You know, and it's like the middle of December, which mm-hmm. that can happen, but not so frequently.
Right.
And the corn certainly wouldn't be there anymore. Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I had that once with the temperature, and it really wasn't unexplained or anything. It was just weird. When I first had moved to Kansas and I just drove nonstop from Michigan mm-hmm. down, and car got pretty good gas mileage. So it'd be a pretty long stretch without having to get gas. Mm-hmm. And I left when I was up there, I must have filled up somewhere probably towards the end of Michigan, made it into Kansas onto like the turnpike, and it was snowbanks up there, like thick snowbanks. I was in a winter jacket and all that, and I was just pretty much bundled. And this was beginning of March, and it was an unseasonably warm March in Kansas. And then I get out to get gas in Kansas, and I'm in my winter stuff. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm just still assuming, you know, it's sunny, but it's going to be cold.
Uh-huh.
And it was like 78.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? And I was so confused as to how it could be that warm. In just from one stretch, but it's amazing how quick temperature can change if you just start going south.
Oh, and I bet the next day it was probably like 40 degrees.
You know, it stayed 50s, 60s, 70s. That was a very hot summer, mm-hmm. I remember. And it did not get, there was no snow ever that the rest of that winter. And there was only like a month of it left in Kansas. But it was just such a weird experience going from that to that.
Yeah.
In one drive, if you sure. will. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter, Sarah writes into us. Hello. First, want to thank you for broadcasting your program out on the air. I've been listening to your program for 8 months now after discovering your podcast on Spotify. I'm not an EPP member yet. I hope to become one in the new year. Budget pending. Listening to your show helps break up the day. Well, working long hours as well as engages my critical thinking process. Evaluating cases, engaged questions, theories, diagnosis involved in the paranormal. Growing up, I was taught to believe in the spirit world and have encountered many experiences throughout my life. Most I've evaluated as psychological stresses due to the environment I grew up in. However, there are a select few that cannot be explained. One I want to share is actually a shared event that happened with myself and my fiance, now husband, 5 years ago. We're both educated individuals. His degree is in psychology. Mine are dual degrees in history and interdisciplinary. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Big word. Studies with some graduate studies in criminal justice. So we both look at paranormal situations through a process of elimination. We look to see what can cause an experience, such as building design, nature, animals, weather, man-made tools, IT, equipment, etc. And if in a case those are eliminated, we then dig deeper into the possibility of a haunting. So 5 years ago, we decided to spend the night at my parents' house after helping them out. We decided to take a nice night walk, FYI, my parents' property. General area has a lot of odd occurrences. It was a full moon night with clear summer skies. We walked down the road deeper in the woods where there's a creek. He and I heard the insects and frogs stop making their noises, and we both felt a presence. We paused, listened for possibly a deer, bear, coyotes, fox, bobcat, or some other critter. Crossing the road was the shadowy figure of a huge, bull, human-like entity walking on two legs. Stopped to stare at us, then disappeared across. I asked in fear if he saw that, and he said yes, with a look of concern and confusion. We both thought it may have been a deer and decided to keep walking. It was still silent. Not a peep from a cricket or a tree frog, and the air felt ominous. After walking approximately 100 feet, we were above the creek. I was struck with fear, paralyzed, standing over the creek, and saw the time it stood still. My fiancé was in a defensive position. I watched as I'm frozen, and this bull-like shadow figure comes to color in blues, black, green, brown, purple, and walked out of the forest up towards me, puffing out its nose, just staring at me before disappearing again in the woods. No reason, tears came out of my eyes, and I could not scream, yell, or make a whisper. This happens probably a few seconds, and what felt like hours. A release came upon me, and finally, I was able to move and breathe. I looked at my fiancé, who rushes to check on me, grabs my hand and said, "Let's go. Whatever that was is not welcoming, and we have to go now." We ran back to the house and went to bed. That night, we talked about what happened and thought it may have been the spirit of the woods. We were not supposed to be there at that time. I then hear two bangs on the north side of the house, thinking it was my mom's cats. Thought nothing of it. Then moments later, there were two more bangs on the east side of the house. I shook my fiancé, asking if he heard it. He was already awake, and he said he heard it. A few moments later, two bangs on the south side of the house. We were both confused, concerned, and scared. Then on the west side, where the windows of my bedroom was, we both heard two knocks on a window. I shrieked and hid under the covers. The rest of the night, we were up. The next morning, we questioned my mom about the figure, and without looking up, she just said, "Oh, okay. How typical." She was never forthcoming on the subject matter, but that's a different story. After we went home and went to bed early for school and work, and primarily being mentally exhausted from the night before, we were talking about what happened the night prior when there were two knocks at the west window. However, these knocks were gentler, and there was not a sense of danger or fear in the air. We both took it that something followed us to let us know everything is okay and safe, possibly an apology. That's a story I'm sharing. My husband and I have experienced terrifying experiences separately growing up. That's too much to share. I hope you enjoy the story. I apologize if it was too long. I did not go into much detail of their history or other paranormal experiences that have occurred at my parents' property due to the huge amount of details that are involved. If you decide to share the story, thank you. If not, that is okay as well. Thanks for your program. Keep up with the awesome job. And of course, stay spooky.
I have no idea what to make of that one. Do you?
It's almost Goatman-ish.
It is.
Or there's, you know, variations of Goatman.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the entity or the, what's that? What's the word for that?
Minotaur?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Minotaur-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it falls into that. And that's why I always kind of thought like the Goatman stuff seemed more paranormal than it did Bigfooty. Like, Bigfooty seems more like, it might just be something out there that we don't really know yet. Not necessarily ghostly, just a rare creature.
Sure.
And the Goatman stuff seems like, no, this is something paranormal, that's the shape it's taking.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with down that route.
Paranormal, but definitely on the weird side for paranormal.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's interesting because there's all throughout the country, there's different takes on the Goatman, which I had no idea until we talked to
Nathan
Couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
Who wrote the book about the Goatman. But it was just interesting to hear about all the legends and the variations of this creature that people seem to see in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Samantha writes in, "Hi guys, I have another paranormal story to share, and I made sure to experience it a few times just to be sure it wasn't all in my head. So here's my story. My boyfriend and I go up to Vermont frequently for craft beer so we can snowboard. He's friends with a great group of people that own a ski house near the mountain, so we rent out a room in the house for a weekend, along with a few other people who are up there to ski and snowboard. Sometimes we get our own room, and sometimes we'll have roommates. Just depends on how many people are staying there. Since I don't ride, I just stay at the house and read or watch TV. First time I went up, it was just me, my boyfriend, and another couple. We got a room to ourselves on the second level, but I did my hair and makeup at the bathroom across the hall from the room. While doing my hair and makeup, I kept hearing footsteps upstairs. It's a three-level house. I didn't think anything of it because I just thought it was the other couple. After finishing my hair and makeup, I went down to the first level to ask my boyfriend if he was ready to go. I turned the corner to the living room and said, "Honey, are you ready to go?" He said he was ready to hit the road. I asked, "Should we tell the others or that we're heading out?" And he looked at me, slightly confused. "They left about an hour ago," he says. I look at him with a slight smile because I thought he was being a smartass. "Hon, I heard them upstairs. Stop trying to trick me." I say, now he looks downright puzzled. "Samantha, I'm telling you, they left." So I proceeded to ask him if he'd been upstairs at all since I got in the bathroom, and he persistently tells me no and asks why. I told him that I heard heavy footsteps upstairs and asked if the place is haunted. He doesn't believe in anything supernatural, so naturally, he says no. Second time we stayed there, the exact same thing happened, and I didn't mention anything because I didn't feel negative and honestly doesn't bother me. If it doesn't feel evil or negative, then I don't mind. But this past weekend actually kind of frightened me, to be honest. Once again, everyone was on the mountain, and I was doing my hair in the bathroom alone in the house, and I hear footsteps upstairs. Just ignored it because I fear that if I acknowledge it, then I would try to get my attention even more. I went upstairs to the third floor to sit in bed and watch TV because that's where we were sleeping this time. I have Netflix playing when suddenly I hear whispering. I tilt my head slightly to try and listen, but don't take my eyes off my phone. I do not want to see anything, no spirits or anything, but as I'm trying to pretend to ignore it, it gets louder and louder until finally I pause my show and I pick my head up and look around. It stops. It was silent. It's getting really creepy, I think to myself. I resume my show and the whisper starts again. It's making me mad, and at this point, because I can't even make out a word. Finally, I get up, go out the hallway to see if anyone is home, and of course, no one is. I walk back to the bed. It gets louder. It's like someone is my ear. I whip around and bark, "Knock it off," and then again, it's silent. But 20 minutes later, my boyfriend and the rest of the people in the house get home, and I tell them everything. They just laugh, and one of his friends says he doesn't doubt that it's haunted. I have complete chills right now writing this, so that's how I know it was an intense moment. Jenny, I know you've mentioned that you're sensitive, and I've come to open my mind to the fact that I'm an empath because that is the only explanation I have for always feeling these things and knowing what people are feeling, even if they don't tell me, and I'm worried it's going to start making me more open to spirits and encounters like this. Do you have any insights on how to possibly control it? I'd love feedback. Hope you both enjoy the story. Your listeners, if this is played, I'm a proud EPP member. Love the show. You're both funny and insightful. It's great to listen to.
Really, the only, I guess, advice I have is the surrounding yourself in white light to try and keep things away.
Mm-hmm.
As far as just day to day, because you can't really go about life constantly doing that.
Wear sage. Make clothing out of sage.
No, I would say it seems like things pick up in intensity and frequency the more attention you pay to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you
pay attention,
are looking for things or find, you know, that might be paranormal. It's almost like the more oblivious you are, the better off it is.
I see what you're saying.
I don't really know a good way to say to tune it out.
It's kind of like life in general, though, you know?
Like, I have to, honestly, I hate doing this because as a responsible adult, I think you should stay up on the news, but I have to tune it out. I can't check the news every day.
Sure.
I can't listen to the news, you know.
Yeah.
But I know that if something major happens, it will scroll across my phone screen.
Sure.
Otherwise, it just, it
irritates
becomes
you.
Too much. Yeah. And I think sensitive people have trouble with that.
Sure.
So you kind of have to limit your exposure to whatever it is that you find is getting to you.
I agree. I think it's sometimes things like that, like the news and stuff that you passively sometimes think, well, this is an annoyance. It may not be directly affecting me at this exact second, but so much of it does.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets to you. I mean, and it always makes me wonder, you know, the example I would have is, remember on like the late shows, they would do, they go to and talk to people on the street and mm-hmm. ask them like obvious questions about things. And so many completely oblivious
yeah.
to anything going on, not even just around them currently, but just like stuff that really everyone should know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of go, gosh, I wonder what it would be like to be that oblivious to everything. And they seemed like really happy people.
And I don't like feeling oblivious.
Sure.
But I just can't let it wear on me.
I know. I sometimes wish I could be oblivious because mm-hmm. they do seem like very happy individuals. They're always like the most jovial, like, and I don't know. I mean, is that good? Is that bad? I'm sure there's some many situations where that's not a good thing, where that would catch up to you going, you probably should have paid attention to this or that, so you're aware of this little factoid of what's now about to affect you.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the other parts, it's like, I feel like I'm more so affected all the other times where I shouldn't be by stuff that shouldn't be affecting me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And that's the life of an anxious person.
Yes, it is. That or if you watch the news and you think you can predict it coming, it's going to make it less painful when it happens.
Exactly. I'm getting really good at predicting the news.
And that doesn't make it any less impactful.
No, not at all. Not at all. Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Shelby writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm an actress living in Los Angeles. I called in a few weeks ago with a story, and I tried to call this one in, but the phone got cut off. So here it goes. A few episodes ago, you asked that people send in some holiday ghost stories, and I actually have one to share.
I have to say, this was written in December.
Okay.
So that's why.
We're getting some pre-Christmas ghost stories before Halloween of this year.
Yeah, we're beating the stores.
All right.
We're ahead of the season.
Now you have to get our keepsake ornament. There you go. That's something. There you go. That's an exciting thing. A real ghost stories online ornament. Oh, there's an idea.
Yeah.
Wheels are turning. I don't know what that would be. I wonder, I don't have to look into that. That's an idea. I should start by saying I come from a family of sensitives, not just with ghosts, but with other things as well. Knowing who's calling, knowing when the power will go out, even identical twins feeling each other's emotions while miles apart. But that's a whole other story. I live in LA, but am from Chicago. And a couple of weeks ago, my boyfriend and I went home to Chicago for Thanksgiving. We were lucky enough to stay at a friend's apartment while they both went to visit their families. The night before Thanksgiving, or should I say the morning of, because it was about 5:30, I woke suddenly to the feeling of someone softly tapping my head. I opened my eyes, and I could see my boyfriend fast asleep, with his back to me. As he realized that I was awake, I could feel someone or something leaning over me. I could hear a small, almost panting of breath and feel it on my head. Now, at first, I thought maybe my boyfriend hadn't closed the bedroom door all the way, and my friend's cat had come in and was trying to wake me up, some attention. However, I almost instantly began to feel odd. I had that feeling that was almost sleep paralysis, only I felt more like, for some reason, I didn't want to move, so not so much that I couldn't, though. After maybe a minute, I finally got the courage to turn around and look, wishing against everything that I would see Flip on the nightstand next to the bed, but when I turned around, nothing was there. The door to the room was closed. I didn't say anything to my boyfriend about it because, well, honestly, it felt better for me to write it off as a dream. However, the next morning, something happened that makes me think something really was leaning over me. My boyfriend and I booked our flights at different times, so he was leaving fairly early in the morning, while I would still be in town for most of the day. I woke up early to see him off and, of course, to make sure that he closed the door to the room so the cat couldn't come in, allergies, and that he locked the apartment door. I should say the room we were sleeping in had a French door, and my friend hung a linen curtain over the door for privacy. I was sitting in the bed playing around on my flip phone when I heard Flip scratching at the door, wanting to come in. I looked up, and I could see his chubby little outline on the other side of the linen curtain. Now, I mention my family's sensitivity because, well, I often have very strong feelings about things happening right before they do. While I was looking up at the door, I just knew I was going to see something. Flip began to whine and scratch at the door, feverishly, wanting to be let in. Then I saw the dark shadow of a person, half walk, half run past the door from the kitchen to the living room. I sat there, jaw wide open for about 3 minutes, and waited to hear the front door open and close, like maybe my boyfriend got something and ran back to get it. Nope, Maybe my friend ran home from her dad's place to grab something. Nope. I've experienced a lot of paranormal things in my life, but seeing a shadow, creepy, hunch, walk, run like that gave me the creeps. Sorry, this was such a long write-in. I love the show and listen to you guys as often as possible, hoping to become an EPP soon. Keep up the good work. Oh, and Jenny, I too love the Titanic and Titanic-related, well, anything. Happy holidays. Happy holidays, Shelby Lynn.
I think it's just your classic shadow person story.
Yeah.
And I don't know why sometimes it seems like they come in and they're there for a while and then they go away. Because it may not have been there before either.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's just a passing through ghost or what.
That happens. It's hard to know exactly the reasons why it may be there. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing the story. April writes in, when I was in ninth grade, we moved into a house across the street from the high school I attended. Everything seemed relatively normal until my junior year. One morning, I woke up extra early to get ready for homecoming week. As soon as I walked down the hallway, I felt strange, like something was off. The bathroom light was on, which was weird, but I just brushed it off. I'm super paranoid, anyways, and I must always lock the bathroom door when I shower. During my shower, I started hearing noises in the hallway. I looked up behind the shower curtain, and I could see the doorknob turning like someone was trying to open the door. I stood there frozen for a few minutes before it stopped. When it stopped, I could hear what sounded like a very large man walking down the hallways towards our living room. Now, our house is carpeted everywhere except the bathrooms and kitchen, and the footsteps were so loud, I could hear them standing in the shower. I could actually hear what I can only explain as his or her, its shoulders brushing up against the wall as it walked. I immediately thought, oh my gosh, someone has broken into our house and is going to murder me and my family. I stood frozen in the shower until the water ran cold and stepped out of the shower with the water still running. My only thought was maybe he'll think I'm still in the shower and leave. I walked over to the door and put my ear to it to see if I could hear anything. I was so afraid when I touched the door with my hand, it rattled because my hands were shaking so bad. When I put my ear to the door, I could hear breathing on the other side like someone was standing in the in front of the door. I sat on the edge of the bathtub silent for about 20 minutes. My plan was as soon as I heard my mother's alarm clock go off, I'd listen to see if I heard her walk out of her bedroom and grab her into the bathroom, which is exactly what I did. I grabbed her and pulled her into the bathroom and started hysterically crying and telling her that someone was in the house. She just brushed me off and walked the whole house, checking all the locks and windows as I sat on the edge of the bed crying. She thought I imagined the whole thing. Until about 3 months later, when the same thing happened to her. She said she saw the doorknob turning and heard someone walking up and down the hallway and thought it was an intruder. After those incidents, we'd hear footsteps and a lot. And I even had another experience where it felt like someone laid down on the bed beside me.
I like it when the person that dismisses your story of what happened then has it happen to them.
Gets a little taste of it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there you go.
I'm kind of vengeful like that.
How you enjoy that, ghost? There you go. Creepy story.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing in and sharing that experience with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Remember, if you sign up for the yearly EPP membership, even more options than ever before for your bonus. Bunk bed bell, still a choice for you. But now you can also sign up to get the session with us where we'll chat about your ghost story on a phone call or a Skype call and maybe even use it on the show. Or you can sign up for the Dream Meetings one or the Chuckin' with Jenny one, phone sessions where we can discuss your object or space or your dream. And again, may use them on future episodes of the respective programs. So some nice extras there when you sign up for that yearly EPP membership at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can, of course, always do the monthly as well. You don't get the extra extras, but you certainly get all the bonus content that's up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.